This past week, I was looking back through, I guess, about 10 years ago, and some of the sermons that I was that I'd preached. And one of the titles of one of the sermons that I talked about, the title of it was "If I Were the Devil." And it's hard to believe it's been 10 years after that, but I was thinking about that, and it had some different points than what I want to talk about this morning. But I want to, along the same lines, I want to get our thought patterns, okay, and thinking about that, because it's very important what we want to talk about this morning. The reason that I entitled that "If I Were the Devil," then, is because we all realize that the devil wants to destroy us. Okay? And we need to understand, if we don't, hopefully we all understand this, but we need to understand that the devil is our enemy. He's our adversary. Okay? And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He is looking for us. Okay? He is out to get us. And I want to tell you this morning that we have an unyielding adversary, an unyielding enemy, who would like nothing better than to destroy this local church. He would like nothing better than to just rip us to shreds. In order for us to effectively combat him, okay, we would do well then to take time to think as he would think, okay, in an effort for us to guard and fortify those areas that he might seek to attack us in, okay? And so that's what I want us to think about this morning. I want us all to ask the question, okay, if I were the devil, how would I go about destroying this congregation? If I were the devil, how would I go about destroying this congregation? The Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God, okay, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So it's telling us right there that we need to put on the armor of God so we can fight against him, because we're in a spiritual war. We're in a spiritual war with the devil. Okay? So the devil wants to destroy us. That's the first thing we need to keep in our minds, right? He wants to destroy the congregation. So what can we do then to guard ourselves, fortify areas that he might seek to attack us? Okay? So, number one, if I were the devil, what would I try to do? Well, I think one of the things that I would try to do, okay, and the reason I'm thinking about these things is because I feel like I'm seeing some patterns, some things that we all need to watch out for. And I'm talking about my life, okay, and I'm talking about everyone. One of the things that we've got to be careful is this. Because if I'm the devil, what I want to do is I want to put one's own interest above the interest of the church. Okay? That's what I want to do. In Philippians chapter 2, in the book of Philippians chapter 2, listen to what Paul says. In verse 3, he says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." If I'm the devil, what I want to do is I want to make sure that each and every member here is wrapped up in themselves, is wrapped up in what they're doing, and they don't have time to do anything else. They don't have time to see about anyone. They don't have time to do anything for anyone. They don't have time because they're all wrapped up in themselves. If I'm the devil, that's what I'm going to try to do. But yet Paul says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit." Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. And he goes on to give us the example. Had this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. How did Jesus act? How did he do? Okay, and that's what we've got to remember, keep in our minds. In James chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. If I'm the devil, I'm going to say, no, don't pay attention to that. That's not important. That's not an important verse. You just go on and you put yourself first in everything. Everybody needs to be bowing down to you. You don't be bowing down to them. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, though, is what James says. Brethren, may it never be said that the church suffered because of my pride and my selfishness. And may it never be said of you. Brethren, we are here, okay? We're here only by the grace of God. We're here only because what Jesus has done for us. He gave us the perfect example. And he wants us to look out for one another and help one another. And so we've got to watch out there because the devil is just pounding. The devil's pounding at the door. Okay? And he's looking for whom he may devour. But there's another one. If I were the devil, then I would also try to devalue brotherly love. And what I mean by that is that I would, if I were the devil, I would try to say, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. Brotherly love is not very important. Well, let's look and see what Jesus said about it. In John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And verse 34 beginning. A new commandment I give to you. Jesus is speaking here. He says that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus says one of the marks, the distinguishing characteristics of the disciple of Christ is that they love one another. And so if I'm the devil, I'm going to try to say, you know, it's not that important that we love one another. It's not a big deal. And yet Jesus says this is what distinguishes us out in the world. They're going to say, wow, they're disciples of Christ because they have love one for another. Now this idea of brotherly love, when you look it up, like in W.E. Vine's dictionary and different things, one says fond of one's brethren, loving as brethren. You think about brotherly love. One of the passages that I thought about, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 in verse 9 beginning says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. We'll stop there. We're going to come back. We'll look at that verse 13 in just a moment. But I want you to think what it says there. Let love be without hypocrisy. That means don't just pretend that you love one another. Okay, don't just put on a show and play acting. You mean we are to love one another without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. Now I want to ask you a question, brethren. Are we like that? Are we doing these things? Or is the devil getting a stronghold on us? Are we devoted to brotherly love? Are we giving preference to one another in honor? See, that kind of goes back to the first point there too, doesn't it? If we're not giving preference to one another, then we're not showing brotherly love. And if that's the case, then what are we giving preference to? We're giving preference to our own interest and our own things. These next couple of slides here, I borrowed these from Brother Steve Klein. He had a couple of good slides on some things talking about brotherly love. And he says that it should be fervent and pure. And the passage, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Listen to what Peter says. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now, why are we to do that? Since we have purified our souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. This is something, brethren, that the devil wants to destroy. And if we're not careful, in every area, we've got to be careful in how we treat one another and things that we say to one another, right? Things that we do for one another. We should care about one another enough to always be looking out for our brethren. Brotherly love is tender-hearted and courteous. Look at this passage, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous. Think about those things. You know, sometimes we go through the week and things get hard, don't they? We're having a hard time and a hard week. Isn't it good sometimes we might get a text from a brother or something sometime and it help us out? It help us get through the day sometime. When we care about one another, we think about one another. Right? And that happened, and that can happen in any of us, and we need to think about one another, what everybody's going through. Everybody has something tough going on in their life. Okay? It may not be you directly, but somewhere in your family there are tough things going on, right? And we need one another. And Jesus knew that. Okay? And so Jesus is telling us, okay, God is telling us that we need to have compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted. Be courteous with one another. That's something, brethren, that the devil wants to destroy it. He knows if he can destroy this, that he's got us. Because we'll just be wrapped up in ourselves, wrapped up in doing what we want to do, and then everything else. You don't have to worry about anything else. And so we've got to be on our guards with this and constantly be promoting this and thinking about this. Brotherly love does not behave rudely. And we can go back, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Talking about, we call it the great chapter of love, right? This is the agape, the Christian kind of love that it's talking about here. But notice what it says. Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Brotherly love does not behave rudely. And we all need to understand that and think about that in our lives. How do we treat one another? Sometimes those that we love the most, sometimes we treat the worst sometimes. And so we've got to be careful in that. But let's go back. If I were the devil, I would try to put one's own interest above the interest of the church. I would try to devalue brotherly love. Well, I would also try to promote that hospitality is not important. Let me get caught up here. Promote that hospitality is not important. In Rome, back in the in Romans chapter 12, we read there in verses 9 through 12, right? And we said, talking about being devoted to one another in brotherly love. Verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Now look at verse 13. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Some translations say, some of the older translations say, given to hospitality. That word given to actually means running after. It means running after hospitality, pursuing hospitality. And hospitality is from a word that means love of strangers. Love of strangers. This idea of giving the hospitality, if I were the devil, I would say, you know what? That's outdated. We don't do that anymore. Okay, that's not important anymore that you do that. That's something they did a couple hundred years ago and all these. But yet now we're too busy. We're too private in our lives. We don't want to have anybody in our homes. Don't want to do anything like that. So let's just forget that. But yet Paul says that we're to run after and pursue hospitality. Paul would replace a passive attitude about it with an active desire to help others. Active desire to help others. You know, you think about passages like Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. We all know this passage. We've heard it many times. But let's read it one more time. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're to do good to all people, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Brethren, this is not just simply something that, well, if you have, you know, if you got the time to do it, we're just too busy, we can't do that, or we don't have the resources to do that, or we don't have a nice enough house to do that, or we don't have this and that, and you can come up with a thousand excuses why you can't do it, and the devil will help you with that, okay? But the plain and simple reason is we're to love one another, and we're to think about these things. We're to help one another. Look at Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. There are many ways to show hospitality, if you will, to help others. Okay? The idea of hospitality or helping others, someone says, well, it's not that important. The devil is going to say it's not important at all. But listen to what Jesus says. This is a scene, really, of the judgment. In verses 31 through 46, we're not going to read all of that, but look at verse 41. Or verse 40, it says, the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these, my brothers of mine, you, the least of these, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Sounds like to me that it's pretty important to Jesus. Jesus says it's very important. If you do something, if you do a little something, he says, for one of the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it unto me. Do you realize that? When you do something for someone else, you're doing it to Jesus. You're doing it for him. How awesome is that? Think about that. We have opportunities. And someone says, you know, there's just not a lot of opportunities. You know, we're in such an affluent society and our culture and everything. There are just no opportunities to help people. I got an email this morning. We got an opportunity, brother. We got an opportunity to help some. Brother Ed Smith, which is one of the men that we help support here in this congregation, he just came back from a trip in Zimbabwe. Some of the brethren there lost everything, and with some of the cyclones that came through, they're needing some help. And someone says, man, I said they lost everything. It must be an astronomical amount of money and things that they need. We just don't have that kind of resource. We just can't do that. We just can't do anything to help them. You know what he says they need? Each family. Each family is going to need help for the next 2 months. You know how much they're going to need? Each family is going to need for a whole month, $50. And we're sitting there thinking, we can't get by one day on $50. And they got a whole family, and that's what they need. Brethren, there are opportunities for us to help. And we're going to have more to say about that. If you want to help, we've got some information for you. But brethren, that's just one way. There are many, many ways that we can help, promote. And remember now, if you're the devil, what are you going to trust? Oh, it's not important. Don't worry about it. Don't do that. You spend your money on your own stuff. Let's go back to point number one, your own interest, right? Let's make sure you take care of number one first. Take care, do everything that's always been your best, okay? Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about that Jesus gave up everything for you. Don't worry about that. Just whatever it takes for you to get ahead in life. We've got to be careful, brethren. Brotherly love shows hospitality. Another passage, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. You think about that. At least two occasions in the Bible that happened. And as Brother Wayne said, there's your brain teaser for you. You can look those up. Think about those. Okay. But brotherly love shows hospitality. So brethren, if I were the devil, I would try to put one's own interest above the interest of the church. I would try to devalue brotherly love. I would try to promote that hospitality is not important. And brethren, the last one that we're going to talk about this morning, there are other things we can talk about. But the one that I want to talk about this morning real quickly is to undermine the trust and respect for our leaders. If I were the devil and I wanted just to put the nail, as they said, in the coffin, that's what I would do. Let's undermine the trust and respect for our leaders. Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. You want to destroy a house, you divide it from the inside, right? That's the way to do it. Elders are to shepherd the flock of God. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. Now listen, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Now listen, not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. That's what the elders are to be. They're not to lord it over us. They're not to do those, but they're to be an example to the flock. Brethren, their qualifications have already demonstrated their godly qualities. Okay, brethren? And so we need to trust them and have respect for them. But if I'm the devil, I'm going to put that seed in the elders, okay, that you need to start pounding. Right? You need to start leading with the iron fist, okay, and all these things. And then, when they do that, then what are the members going to do? That's what they're going to do. And so there's a two-way street here, brethren. We've got to watch out for. The elders have to be on guard. They have to watch what they're saying, what they're doing, how they're acting, okay, being an example. And then we as members have to be careful. We have to watch, and we have to trust and respect our leaders. And if we will work together, all these things go together, brethren. All these things go together. But if I'm the devil, I'm just going to knock them off one at a time. And we've got to be on guard, put on our guard, and put on our armor against the devil. He's out to get us. He's out to devour us. And brethren, I love every one of you. There's not a person in here that I don't want to go to heaven. That we all want to be together in heaven. And we've got to help each other. We've got to be with each other. And we've got to fight against the devil. I leave you with this. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We can say it all day long, right? But we've got to show it in deed and in truth. I thank you for listening this morning. If you're here and you know your life is not right with God, maybe you're not a Christian and you need to become a Christian this morning. Trust in God. Trust in the Savior. Trust in Jesus. That's going to be your only way to get back to the Father. You've got to put your faith and trust in Him and obey Him. Maybe you're already a Christian and you've fallen back into the world. If you are a Christian, now listen to me. If you're a Christian, you have an avenue with the Father. You can pray to Him anytime and ask for forgiveness. We got to be careful when we ask and talk about people coming forward. You're not coming forward, okay? If you're already a Christian, you don't come forward because there's some special people up here to pray for you and you can't get forgiveness without doing that. Okay? The only time you need to come forward, if it's of a public nature, your sin. Okay, and so I want to make sure we understand that, because a lot of times people think, oh, well, I can't get forgiveness until I come forward and do that. Well, if it is of a public nature and everybody knows about it, then you got to make it. That's part of making it right. But brethren, every one of us, as Christians, one of the privileges is we can pray to the Father, and we have an advocate who will forgive us. He will go to the Father on our account. And that's awesome. And we need to praise God for that. If you're here this morning and we can help you in any way, we urge you and beg you to come while we stand and sing.